From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 Digital exclusive.
Well, hey everyone, welcome back to another Your Weather podcast. And this week we've got a special guest, Emily Burris, the weekend anchor and also a reporter. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Yes, welcome in. And you've got a lot of facts to bring in today about houseplants. And it's one of your biggest hobbies. You love plants. You're always sharing about them on social media, but also how maybe weather plays a big role into keeping those plants healthy, and some good questions that you can ask folks around town about plants to keep them healthy too.
Yeah. So I've been reporting in recent weeks on houseplants, and really what it started off as was I have these plants in my home. We've gone shopping together.
We have.
for plants. We've been strolling Alberta and popped into some cute little local shops. And I found myself over the year, as I was moving into a new place and really kind of decorating things, bringing more and more plants in. So, you know, I was looking at my own condo thinking, is this just me? Is this just a thing that I should maybe talk to someone about? But I started digging online and found that, no, this is actually part of a larger trend that is fueling the houseplant industry. There are buying trends now that shops and people haven't seen before. And
well, I mean, if you just go take a walk on Alberta or any of those, you know, happen in neighborhoods in Portland, there are at least, you know, two or three plant shops or, you know, little boutiques that have air plants and have these really pretty pots full of different types of plants. And it seems like they are trending, especially in more of the millennial culture. So it is definitely a thing. This is
absolutely
a thing.
Absolutely. And when you call them plant shops, they very much are. It's not your typical gardening center that maybe you went to with your parents. They are these little boutique-style, very curated shops that are showcasing plants as products. So I started digging into this, and turns out the National Gardening Association, that is an industry trade group that kind of tracks spending, because houseplants are part of the larger overall lawn and gardening industry. So they look at all of those things on an annual basis, and they put out a new survey in 2019. Lawn and gardening is a more than $50 billion industry, the garden industry. Overall, spending last year was up to $52.3 billion. That's a new record in spending nationwide. And there are some trends that have remained steady. It's led by wealthy households, older people, but millennial households are a trend that the gardening industry is now watching. So they found that 18 to 34-year-olds plan to spend more on lawn and gardening activities in 2019. It's the group that is getting into it the fastest, and it's interesting. U.S. sales over the past 3 years have surged 50% to almost $1.7 billion, and that's just looking at houseplants and the indoor gardening
the indoor
there.
Spaces.
And it's being driven largely by this younger group, that this is kind of their foray into gardening.
And I can see it in my immediate circles of friends, too. Everyone is obsessed with houseplants, and it makes spaces look nice. They're fun to take care of. They're not too high maintenance, but some can be, I'm sure. We've had some issues with plants, both of us. Right.
But it's interesting because even houseplants, and this is kind of where our conversations always kind of nerd out, is like, even houseplants, weather has an impact. Weather has a role.
Right.
You would think that your little plant sitting inside that glass is not really affected by what's happening in Portland, but it can
be. It does. Yeah, so what did you really learn specifically on how maybe weather and seasonal changes can affect the indoor plants?
Sure. Well, light is the biggest thing. If you're going to bring a plant into your house and you need full direct sunlight, you know, good luck if you only have an eastern facing window in Portland. It might not be the type of light or enough light, especially in
even
place
through
that,
a window, you're saying,
especially in a city that, you know, can have a lot of cloudy days. And if you don't have the right facing exposure that gets, you know, enough sun through enough parts of the day, your plant's not going to be happy unless you put some indoor lighting in to kind of compensate for
that. So is that a common thing then? I mean, if you've got all these summer plants that you're loving, what do you do when the winter comes and these cloudier days are ahead?
Yeah, so there are some plants that really, really do not enjoy being near like a heat source. They might want it to be warm, but they might want humidity. So those are the types of things to be thinking about. You know, take a look at your house and look at the windows in your home and specifically what direction they're facing. Do you have an eastern-facing bay window that gets morning sun? Do you have a bedroom window that has a southern exposure or western exposure, and you get that afternoon sun all afternoon long? And then just have that information in mind when you go and you talk to these shops, instead of going in and saying, I really, really, really want a fiddle leaf fig, because they're super, super trendy, and I've seen them in all of these magazines.
Are those the bigger ones with the massive leaves?
Yes,
they're
tall. Yes, those are the ones with big green leaves, and they're very cool. They can grow very tall, but they're actually a bit of a diva. So I talked to one guy, you know, who explained, you know, plant variation is just, it's part of nature. This is Tyler Rogers. He owns Arium Botanicals, and here's what he had to say about kind of learning the life cycle of a plant.
Like a browning leaf, you know, or something yellowing. That's totally okay. It's a natural process of plants to kind of have some like dieback and new growth. So I think that it's this nice balance of learning to appreciate the imperfect or the unpredictability of living things.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one thing that I have certainly learned in taking care of plants is to not freak out, and you know, and often think back to, okay, what elements is it maybe missing that it would be getting outside indoors when it was, you know, a subject to all of these changing weather conditions.
So some plants maybe need a change of scenes, and some definitely don't want that.
Yeah.
But maybe a remedy to a plant dying would be to change something up.
Yeah. Is it getting enough fertilizer? Is it getting enough food, light, humidity, warmth, all of those things?
Okay, so as you are browsing shops, what types of plants are you seeing? Are they pretty native ones, or are they more tropical from out of state? Is that pretty usual? Or
yeah, it's an interesting mix of plants that are very trendy right now, things that you're seeing on Instagram, and then things that are native to the Northwest. You know, one thing that Oregon and Portland is always very big on is local. There's a lot of local pride, so people do take an interest in local plants or things that would do very well in this climate. So some really cool ferns, some different things that like a moist rainforest environment.
Yeah.
They're in shops here. The other thing that's become, you know, very much a thing that millennials are looking at as they kind of get into gardening for the first time or get into plants for the first time are these easy to care for plants. So you've probably seen them, the ZZ plant, the snake plant, and these shops are actually branding them as hard to kill. You know, you'll see little signs. It's like very easy to care for plant. And if you go in and you tell someone, hey, this is like my first foray into houseplants, they'll be like, here, you want to start with this or this. Mm-hmm. They only need a little bit of water.
I think that's exactly what we did when we went plant shopping.
Yeah.
It was my first bigger plants. And turns out my cat actually chewed off all the leaves, and that's why I don't have many plants.
But I was going to say, Jets made it hard for you to be a plant owner.
Live with a gremlin, it's hard to have plants. But for those with these nice spaces, plants really do add to the room.
Exactly. And there's lots of plants that are easy to care for. This still give you that kind of cool architectural vibe that you might be going for without being as finicky as some of the figs and the ficus.
So the most important notes here, so weather outside still has a role in how your plants are growing and how you should manage them even in these indoor spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some questions that you think would be good to ask any plant shops if you're interested in getting into this hobby?
Yeah, definitely go in and ask, you know, based on the conditions in your home, be honest with yourself. This is what I've got to work with. What could I do under these conditions with this light? Or, you know, do I need to get something else? If you're willing to set up a, you know, fancy lighting and heating system or something cool, then yeah, you could grow just about anything inside, but it's definitely going to require a little more effort on your part.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that you want to ask them about is when your plant's growing season might be, and when you would expect to see, you know, some plants, because they're working with, if you think about it, you know, a year's worth of weather conditions in the winter months when we have less sunlight, lower temperatures, sometimes a lot of rain, you know, it depends on the area. They might have their more dormant season where they're not growing. And so you might bring a new plant into your home and think that you're doing something wrong. Because you haven't seen a new leaf for 2 months. But then if you fertilize it in the spring, all of a sudden you're going to get a ton of new buds. And understanding your particular plant's life cycle and how they like to grow gives you a good indicator too of if you're doing a good job taking care of it.
Well, it seems like Portland is a really good scene for indoor plants, whether or not it's winter or not.
Absolutely. You know, the other cool thing that that Tyler talked about too with this trend, Tyler Rogers, I mentioned, he owns Arium Botanicals over on Northeast MLK, and he studied a lot of horticulture in college too, so he's approaching this from kind of a global perspective. And one of the things that he loves so much about a younger generation getting interested in this in a way that's been different on social media in sharing that knowledge is that it's also sharing an understanding of conservation and habitat, you know, preservation. And a lot of these plants that are gaining notoriety through social media and online are plants in areas like the rainforest, or you know, like these areas of South America that are facing deforestation or climate change and habitat loss. And here's what he had to say about the knowledge that's being shared.
Let's say, for instance, Ripsalis pilocarpa, a kind of like a jungle cactus. So you would find those growing on trees and things like that. But since they're facing deforestation in Brazil, a lot of their habitat is actually quickly being lost. And so by even just having these plants in like private collections, we're able to still keep these plants alive through cultivation, you know, through our private collections and things like that. Once you learn about something, you're a lot more likely to want to save it or preserve it, you know?
So yeah, really, really a global perspective there from something that maybe started with you liking an Instagram post. It's kind of cool.
That is crazy. Yeah, just the need for these plants is really good for them in the long run.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing, too, environmental scientists are just beginning really to understand in some ways how plants are actually having an effect on the weather. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe how some plants can kind of increase humidity and maybe some of the air masses that are moving around, which can control temperature and, you know, bring in rain or not. So, yeah, that is interesting. It would be cool to take a deeper dive into that.
Yeah, and we've seen, you've probably heard about something, you know, like heat islands, you know, cities can kind of have an impact on a weather pattern because you have all this asphalt and all these buildings. And we've seen green roofs as a way to try and reduce some of the effects of heat absorption into a city. Well, if you were to kind of zoom it out and look at that on a wider scale, kind of opposite of a city heat island, well, if you look at a broad forested area, like you mentioned, like there's a real impact there on humidity, which can have an effect on drought and some of these long-term climate conditions. You know, one thing that I thought was really interesting to learn about was scientists are now understanding how a more diverse forest can have an impact on drought conditions. Because if you think about it, you have all different kinds of trees and grasses and many different species of plants all in one forested area. Mm-hmm. All of those plants are taking water out of the soil at a different rate. They all have different needs for how much water they need and when their growing seasons are. So you're not draining all the water out of a watershed or out of the soil at the same time, which can actually long-term be really helpful for drought in an area.
I am learning so much from you, Emily.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I was brushing off some of my old environmental science minor skills from university. But yeah, it's just cool to look at how plants really fit into larger ecosystems, how they fit into weather and climate.
Yeah. And even if you bring them into these spaces that year round, it could even encourage you to dive into learning about this stuff.
That is absolutely what it's done for me. It started with, I started with one small snake plant and a couple dozen plants later all over my living room. Here we are. I'm sitting here learning about how how forests have an impact on weather and climate. But it's really cool. It's an entire topic area. It's a great way to get kids interested in this, you know, area of science. And it can start with something as simple as just watching a plant grow on your windowsill.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for bringing all these facts to the table here. You seem so enthused about plants, and you know a lot, too. So, go check out Emily's story on coin.com. Lots about houseplants and how that ties into weather, too. And before we go, what is your favorite plant? Do you have one?
Oh, gosh. You're making me choose my favorite child. That's really hard. I think one of my favorites is just my Boston fern. It was one of the first plants that I got, and it's just It's really pretty. I love watching. I have a humidifier next to it to keep it nice and I know. I'm telling you. But it's fun to watch the steam, you know, kind of float over these
fronds. Is it pretty large?
Fronds.
Pretty large plant?
It's getting there.
Nice.
I had to move them into a bigger pot. I was pretty proud of that. So, yeah, I think my fern's my favorite right now, but I don't know. It's hard to choose. They're all so fun. And if you want to check out some of my plants or talk plants with me, I would love to see pictures of your plants.
Yep.
You can follow me. I'm on Twitter at Emily Burris, and
she's always posting about plants
on Instagram too at Emily Burris. Come find me and share pictures of your greenery.
And if you want to know more about houseplants, Emily has a full story on coin.com. Goes deeper into how to handle houseplants. She talks to a couple of local plant shops, owners of plant shops, and just has so much detail on how to keep them healthy.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Did you know podcasts are reaching more than half of the households in America? Thousands of people are downloading shows from the Coin Podcast Network.
Now you can walk anywhere in Portland and know that must be Darcel.
And that number is growing every single day. That means if you advertise with us, your message would be heard time and time again by hundreds of potential customers.
I made like 500 bumper stickers that said Keep Portland Weird.
Right now, the Coin Podcast Network features podcasts on Oregon Ducks.
Scott Reed, senior writer for Ducks Sports Authority.
The Oregon State Beavers.
I think Oregon State's going to score points. I don't think that's going to be a problem for us.
Up-and-coming authors from our area.
Is Writers Block Podcast.
True Crime.
Collapsed and died before getting anyone's attention.
And the important role weather plays in all of our lives.
Fires that hit large, 3/4 of those come from lightning.
As you are listening to this, more unique content is under development. So, if you're looking to reach a new audience and want to know what sponsorship and advertising opportunities are available, email us at coinpodcasts@coin.com.